This episode of the Hard Man Podcast is brought to you by Premier Body Armor and by Private Family Bacon. Well, welcome to this episode of the Hard Man Podcast. I am your host, Eric Kahn, and very excited that you could join us for this episode. We are going to be talking about Time Magazine's Person of the Year, not Woman of the Year, not Cat Lady of the Year. No, we're going to be talking about Time Magazine's Person of the Year, T-Swizzle, Taylor Swift. Why do you have to be so mean, Eric? Well, we're going to talk about that in this episode. Had sort of a... I saw the Time Magazine cover. It's a little bit ridiculous. Taylor Swift on the cover with a cat around her neck, outfitting. And she's dressed immodestly, of course. Not the cat. I mean, Taylor Swift. Okay. And she's Person of the Year. This is supposed to come out December 25th, 2023. That is the Time Magazine. And Taylor was on there and I said some things. We'll get into what I said on Twitter. But it's so funny. I should have known. I should have known that this had the potential to bring out the Rainbow Brigade, which it did. But really, my point in sharing this is so many young women who look at a Taylor Swift and they think Taylor Swift is a role model for what women should be. And she's dressed immodestly and she's on stage and she's performing and everybody's like, oh my God, she's dating Travis Kelce. And everybody just thinks this is the greatest thing in the world. And Christians have lost their minds too. We'll get into that. The Gospel Coalition loves Taylor Swift. Seven things you can learn about Taylor Swift's latest breakup and why it's about the gospel. And everybody is just obsessed with this lady. And so I thought, you know, this is something that needs to be addressed. I don't have anything against Taylor personally, other than her like witch demon cult stuff. Guess that's personal. And the cat is stupid around her neck. But this is not the sort of woman that we want to be celebrating. And people in the church particularly need to wake up. And so, yeah, I addressed this. It was really crazy because I was looking at this last night and it had like 1.2 million impressions. I thought, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And then I woke up this morning, it was 4.1 million. And then as I'm recording, that was maybe an hour ago, hour and a half ago, as I'm recording, 5 million views. People are really passionate about T-Swizzle. And I do think it's funny because, you know, I've listened to Taylor Swift, some of her earlier stuff. I mean, it's like Desperate Teenage Girl, I Got Dumped. But there's some of it that's not absolutely, well, okay, it's pretty terrible. But I'm trying to be nice here. This is the Hard Men Podcast, and we're about being nice and winsome, okay? And so anyway, Taylor, come on. What's going on here? People are very upset. It's the Rainbow Brigade. Chase Davis commented. This is the top comment I see. It's the top comment in my mind. As well, these are some fun comments from some perfectly healthy people. They are perfectly healthy. Speaking of perfectly healthy, before we jump into the episode, I do want to give a couple of shout outs to you guys. Appreciate all the listenership. And there's a couple things that you should be aware of. Number one, we have a conference, 2024 conference. We have announced the conference June 6th through 8th, 2024. Here's the thing to keep in mind. Conference was amazing last year. We had a lot of feedback. People said, we want to bring our whole family. And so we said, that's a great idea. We got a different venue. So we're going to be downtown Ogden. We've got a really cool old, like 100-year-old building where they have theater. We're going to seat up to 800 people in the theater itself. So bring your whole family. We've also adjusted the pricing. Right before, we knew we had a very limited space. This time, we're increasing the space and we're dropping the price of the tickets. So right now you can get the cheapest tickets you will ever get until Christmas. Well, it's actually till the end of the year. But this is our pre-Christmas deal. And then we'll have prices will increase as you approach the conference. You can get a single admission ticket for $179.99. So last year, I think it was almost $300 or something like that because we had limited space. So now we're increasing space, dropping the price. I think if you're under 10, you get in for free. So if you're a listener on this show and you are under 10, you should talk to your parents and you should be like, we should go, mom, dad, we should go to this conference. And then I think 11 to 17 is like $49, somewhere in that ballpark right now. They're again, ticket prices are going to go up, but you can get some really amazing experiences in Ogden, Utah. So if you want to sign up for the conference, go to newchristendompress.com/conference. We are going to be talking about building Christian boroughs in the spirit of King Alfred the Great. One of the things that King Alfred did was he established his country by building really strong cities, and he had specific plans for how to do this. He knew how many people he needed on the wall, and this was when the Danes came. People would go to the borough, and they would defend themselves against the Danes, and the Danes said, oh shoot, we can't just take over your country anymore. And so thus England was built. Alfred did many wonderful things, and we're going to learn hopefully from that. I think some really great talks as well, which are queued up. We have Dr. Joe Rigney from Moscow. I don't know if you followed Dr. Joe Rigney. We're going to have him on. We haven't released it yet, but we've had him on the King's Hall podcast to talk about leadership and the Chronicles of Narnia. This guy is brilliant. Dr. Joe Rigney is brilliant. We really appreciate him. First of all, he knows how to make a good Brian Sauvay Imagine Dragons joke. And you know what? I respect a man who does that. And they're amazing jokes. So Dr. Joe Rigney is going to be there. I think that's going to be wonderful. Dr. Stephen Wolf is going to be there as well. Yes, Christian nationalist Dr. Stephen Wolf. We're going to be talking about Christian nations. We're going to be talking about sort of the classical two kingdoms view of the reformers. We've got Pastor Brian Sauvay. If you've seen the commercial, Pastor Brian Sauvay, not Suave, it's pronounced Sauvay. Sauvay. So see, it's really easy to remember. And I'll be there as well. We've got Pastor Joel Webben from Right Response Ministries. Very excited about that. Could you be a Baptist theonomist and be a Christian nationalist? Well, Joel's going to help us understand that. And then we got Pastor J. Chase Davis, one of my personal favorites. J. Chase Day is going to be there with us. I don't know if that's an approved nickname, but it should be. Chase just turned 37, so shout out to him. He had a Zin 37 birthday cake, which made me wonder if you had Zin with 37 milligrams of nicotine, that would really be something. But it's also going to be something. Chase is going to be there at the conference. We're going to be talking about things like how to kill a movement. Acts 29 died, and what happened? What went wrong? Sometimes one of the best things you can do in sort of a debrief is to say, what failed? What failed with TGC? What failed with the Winsomeness movement? Many of you probably listened or saw some of the stuff that we've been talking about with Kevin DeYoung. You know, Kevin DeYoung and all this, you know, I'm concerned, the concerned bros, I'm concerned about the Moscow mood, all of this. Well, Chase is really good at unpacking that and what's going on with that movement. He's in a church in Boulder, Colorado, along with Matt Patrick. So those fellows are going to join us for the conference. Definitely excited for that. All this to say, we're going to be singing psalms too. It's going to be a Brian Sauvay concert. You can buy tickets to that. There's going to be a singles mixer. You can get tickets to that. We encourage you to come and join us for that conference again, June 6th through 8th. Go to newchristendompress.com/conference. You can sign up today with our cheapest prices ever. It's going to be a great time. So we encourage you to check that out. And one final plug. We are also selling before Christmas. You need a Christmas gift for your loved one, for the king or queen in your life. We have GM King's coffee. And so you can check that out. This is also on the New Christendom Press website. So you go to the conference page, just go to the left tab, coffee, or newchristendompress.com/coffee. GM King's roast. Say it back with me. The GM King's roast. This is roasted exclusively for New Christendom Press by a small Christian roaster in Southwest Florida. This is a family of the one and only Brian Sauvay. Does this coffee taste like blueberries, fresh persimmon, and snootiness? No, it does not. This is, we wanted a coffee. So we were coming up with the coffee to sell for Christmas. We're like, we want a American manly coffee, roasty, caramelized, brown sugar, hints of chocolate. I love this roast. It is a single origin Brazilian bean. Goes down smooth, not gay, like Black Rifle Coffee is, also from Salt Lake City. Don't buy that. We have a wonderful gift for Christmas. This is, we're doing a single run here, $14.99. You can get 12 ounces and we'll ship that directly to you. Place your order. And yeah, it's going to be a great medium chocolate brown sugar roast. Again, Brazilian for Christmas. Go to newchristendompress.com/coffee and you can get your very own bag of GM Kings. That's right, GM King's Coffee from New Christendom Press. And now, once you've been caffeinated, maybe some of you already ordered this coffee. A lot of people have. You're ready for this episode. We're going to jump now in to the discussion about Taylor Swift. Today's episode is sponsored by Premier Body Armor, your top choice for safeguarding your family. What sets them apart? Well, Premier isn't here to convince you to wear a plate carrier around town. Nope. They're focused on innovating armor right into your normal everyday life. Think bulletproof laptop case or lightweight armor insert that fits into your favorite bag and stops most handgun, shotgun, and even rifle ammunition. Unlike much of the tactical industry, choosing Premier Body Armor not only ensures that you're getting amazing armor, but you'll be doing business with a family-owned Christian company. Visit PremierBodyArmor.com today and use promo code KingsHall for 10% off your order today. Got questions? Reach out to customer service or send their president an email directly at alex@PremierBodyArmor.com and you can speak to him yourself. Don't wait to invest your family's security, but reach out today to Premier Body Armor. Don't carry a bag? No worries. How about a moisture-wicking athletic t-shirt with minimalist and lightweight soft armor panels built in? Check the link in the show notes or visit PremierBodyArmor.com today. Our sponsor, Private Family Banking Partners, is on a mission to help Christians live out the Dominion mandate by making a stealth-like move away from the mainstream banks and into their own privatized banking system. This innovative system is designed to guarantee uninterrupted compound interest and tax-free growth without exposure to typical stock market risks. To join this growing community that is already building wealth into future generations and converting post-mill talk into post-mill action, contact Private Family Banking partner Chuck De Laurentiis at his email, chuck@privatefamilybanking.com. Again, that's chuck@privatefamilybanking.com. To set up an appointment and to receive a free copy of Chuck's new book, Protect Your Money Now, How to Build Multi-Generational Wealth Outside of Wall Street, and avoid the coming banking meltdown, go to the link in the show notes for more information. Well, in case you missed it, like I said, Taylor Swift was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. That's right. Today's heroine, according to the very left-leaning establishment, is this hyper-promiscuous woman that I tweeted about. So what was the original tweet? In case you missed that one, let me read it. I said, it's shameful and sad that a hyper-promiscuous, childless woman, i.e. Taylor Swift, aging and alone with a cat, has become the heroine of a feminist age. Well, I think there's many reasons that the regime has picked someone like Taylor Swift. You can read articles about this. She's been very much connected as of 2020, I think somewhere around there, with George Soros money, hyper-leftist. Since then, she's really one of the big Democrat, you know, bring people out to vote. You can look up the information on this. We won't go into all the details. But I even think the thing with Travis Kelce is really interesting, because you wonder if it isn't just a media marketing ploy, right? Get more eyeballs on the NFL. Guess what? Travis Kelce is also Mr. Pfizer. Aaron Rodgers is right. Travis Kelce is Mr. Pfizer, right? So he's in all the Pfizer shots and the whole thing, you know, you watch the Chief game. If you've seen any of these, it's like the whole time there is like TMZ Taylor Swift. The whole time they're like, oh my gosh, Taylor stood up. She's hugging Donna Kelsey, Travis's mom. Oh my gosh, there's, I mean,
if you could stomach the NFL at all, like at this point, it's just like full gag reflex, right? So you gotta wonder what's going on here with the larger leftist elitist media push. And it's also interesting when you look at, I mean, obviously people freaked out, right? Everybody's freaking out in the comment section, but man, talk about the like gutter trash, just utter trash world of like Rainbow Brigade world. I mean, every comment in the post that is negative is like, oh, I guess you have small genitalia, Eric. Oh, good one. Are we back in high school in the locker room? Like, what in the world? People on here, oh, clearly an incel, clearly a pedophile. Yeah, it's projection, obviously. These people who are like living in a New York apartment, probably not New York, okay? Let's be real. Probably like the ghetto of LA, you know? And they've got the rainbow flag flying. And they're like, this guy is this Eric Con Hardman podcast. He's an incel. Yeah. Uh-huh. So again, the absolute worst of the worst, as Chase Davis said, some fun comments from some perfectly healthy people is not what the comment section is. I do love one of the comments. This is like the good comments was Andrew Torba on here. And he said, this is pretty much like the exact regime thing. Like, this is the ideal person in regime world, is a single lady who is just obsessed with the state, right? That's absolutely what's going on in this post. People losing their absolute minds, but none of it is, you know, also a lot of like, don't judge. Christianity is about don't judge. Well, yes, that is one of the most abused passages in scripture. But here we have it, right? Taylor Swift, like, this is being promoted as she's the queen bee of what you should be as a young lady. Absolutely not. And so this is why, you know, this is why I called it out. It's amazing too. Like, you see somebody like Taylor desperately clinging to her youth. She's alone. She's barren. She's a billionaire. Somebody said in the comments, they're like, yes, well, Taylor is something you will never be, a billionaire. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. For a second, I thought you were going to say a used mattress. Right. This is the crazy thing about Taylor Swift is, again, it's not necessarily personal, but it's like, what does scripture teach? The sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom. Clearly, if you listen to her music, you see the lifestyle. It's not good. This is not a picture of what young ladies should aspire to. You know, so many of the comments were like, oh, is the widow bitty man afraid of the successful woman? No, I don't want young ladies to destroy their lives and have a cat around their neck, and that's the only thing that they have. You can have all the billions in the world. What is scripture is very clear. The glory of women is in motherhood. Eve is the mother of all living. When you're 90, God willing, you make it that far, what's going to be like, you can have billions. It won't matter. You can be the cat lady billionaire who probably leaves her money to, like, I don't know, the gays in a library, but I repeat myself. Right? You could be that person, lonely, you know, with too much plastic surgery. Or you could be surrounded by your generations who praise you in the gates as you go off into eternity to be with the Lord. Which will be more valuable? Well, clearly the thing that scripture tells us and God tells us and nature tells us that we ought to be aiming at is our generations, even the Proverbs, grandchildren. Grandchildren are a crown to the aged, and fathers are their children's glory. Like, your generations, that is the glory. So you can think about this for a woman. You can write trashy, you know, trashy songs that teenage girls would like get their hearts all wrung out over. You could do that. And then it gets worse. You know, Taylor's, I don't know. I've heard very little of her music in the last 10 years, but from what I've heard, it gets like way trashier. Again, this whole thing is like, is this what you want to aim at? Absolutely not. Some people said she's dating Travis Kelsey. She's not alone. You saw the meme though, right? The meme with Travis Kelsey and Pfizer. And it said, Mr. Pfizer, and it's like, there's no way this doesn't end with Travis Kelce getting his heart broken. Whether it's Pfizer or Taylor Swift, this is great. This is great stuff. Some memeologists out there. So hats off to you, memeologists. Probably Taylor, I would say, she's probably working on her next Grammy song, right? It's probably going to be a breakup song. Travis is going to be the inspiration. That's probably, she just needed new material. That's probably what this is about. Here's a quote somebody shared from C.S. Lewis. I think this is actually helpful. This is from 1943, but C.S. Lewis said this: where men are forbidden to honor a king, they will honor millionaires, athletes, or film stars instead. Even famous prostitutes or gangsters. For spiritual nature, like bodily nature, will be served. Deny it food, and it will gobble poison. End quote. I think C.S. Lewis was even picking up on something here. There is a right respect for honorable people. We should honor the king if he's a good king and a righteous king. We should honor authority figures and, you know, we should honor pastors. But look at our culture. Look at what our culture has become. This isn't like, you look around and it's not that we will be judged. This is the judgment. We honor prostitutes and gangsters and trashy people. And we put them up as these poisonous examples. And we're telling our young ladies, you ought to aspire to this. I think it's actually the death. Some of this is like signaling the death of trash world, actually. I don't think this is like, look at all the followers and comments in the comment section. If you have the stomach for it, this is not like, oh, wow, talk about some really thoughtful responses. No, it's not that at all. Right? Taylor is the regime's ideal slave. She's an unmarried, childless, aging woman who worships the state. Andrew Torba was right. Not only is a woman like Taylor enslaved to her lust, something she imagines as liberty and freedom and all the women who follow after her, right? She's also robbed of her greatest glory, which is found in motherhood. And you see, as it turns out, what a woman should be taught to desire is a household and children around her apron and an honorable man to call me lord, right? This, the culture just freaks out when you say this, but this is actually God's pattern for women, and it's her glory. It's not to enslave her. You're enslaved when you're enslaved to your lusts. You're not enslaved when you're serving a family, a husband, and the Lord. This is honorable and noble, and you'll rise up and your children will call you blessed, right? This is the glorious life, and it's good, and our world hates it. But I also think a bit more could be said about Taylor, particularly related to her like celebrity status plus promiscuity. It's utterly insane to me that a woman stripped of this precious gift of sexual purity is being celebrated as today's modern woman. You notice that? Like, there have been movies like 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's like, oh my gosh, being a virgin is so horrible. It's so pathetic and disgusting. Even the comments on Twitter are all, you know, in the fashion, a lot of them, of like, oh, why don't you just tell me that you've never had sex, Eric? Okay. Right? Like, being impure is celebrated and being chaste is laughed at. No doubt, though, Taylor really is a sad picture of today's modern woman. That is what it is. It's a travesty. It's a great sadness. It's not something that we should be celebrating. And so I want to camp out here a little bit in this episode. You might ask yourself, in Taylor's story, where's her father? I don't know anything about her father. I'm assuming, you know, it's probably when you get to that level of, you know, superstardom, it probably is not something that your dad wants to be a part of. Don't know anything about him, but I do know about this situation that it reeks of fatherlessness. It reeks of a father not doing his job. I want you to think about something. I've been reading recently Doug Wilson's book, Her Hand in Marriage, which is about courtship. I'm guessing this would not be, it's probably not on the Oprah book list. I'm guessing Taylor hasn't promoted this one, but she should read it. And I think it would be helpful. This is what Doug Wilson says about virginity, sexual purity, right? Virginity was an inheritance brought into the marriage, protected and insured by the father, end quote. This really brings me to the point of the show, which is to make a very brief case that young daughters are glories. Young daughters are glories that ought to be protected by their fathers. And the place where they're protected is in their father's household until they are given in marriage to their husband and then they are protected there in their husband's household under his authority. It seems like the real failure in Taylor's story and in all the women who are being told to follow her, she's probably just a propaganda tool, right? It's a failure of fatherhood. Fathers should be the ones stepping in the fashion of Proverbs and saying to their daughters and to their sons, this is the loud woman. This is the woman who is immodestly dressed and sensually speaking and singing. This is the woman that you don't want to follow because her path leads to destruction and the grave. That's what fathers should be telling their daughters about Taylor Swift. You know, and this is where we have to be careful. You're like, yeah, but the songs are so catchy. I went back to December with Taylor Swift and I really felt it when she sang, "Why Are You So Mean?" Right? Remember being 22? Remember Red? Yeah, this is the problem, right? The bad woman, the wicked woman, the woman of folly in Proverbs has what? She has smooth speech and a smooth tongue. She's enticing. She knows how to suck men into her orbit and young women as well. Here's the interesting thing. Biblically, there's no category. There is no category biblically for a young woman simply going out in the world to live on her own, sleep around a bit, find a career, and partake of the serial dating game. There's no biblical category for this. Instead, what we see biblically is that a young woman is under her father's authority, and when she is married, she is to be given to her husband, as we said. And part of what the father is giving as an inheritance and a gift, this is the thing that he was protecting, is her sexual purity, her virginity. And so this is a valuable thing. This is controversial. I said this months ago on Twitter, but being a virgin is valuable. It is a precious thing to give to your spouse. And this is true for men as well, but it's especially true here in our conversation for women. So sons will leave home, but daughters are given. Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. In Numbers 30:3-16, we have an interesting passage. In this passage, we learn that a daughter's vow must be ratified by her father. So if the daughter makes a vow, we're told, and then she comes home and her father, let's say he finds out about this, he can say, no, your vow is null and void. Why is this? Well, because she is under her father's authority. That's the point that's made so clear in Numbers 30:3-16. She is under her father's authority. And then it says when she is married, it is the husband who can nullify the vow because now the authority has passed to him. It's also worth noting if a woman is divorced or a widow, her husband dies, then she is now the head of her household. She's not under her father anymore. For those of you who had asked that question, it's a good question. But here's the point. Young ladies are not sent off to college and go find yourself. Young ladies are not sent off to college or another place and said, go find yourself. Numbers 33-16, especially in verse 16, it talks specifically about her being physically in her father's household. So for a lot of young ladies, even in conservative reform camps, one of the ideas is like, well, yeah, you're not married yet, so you need to go have a career. You need to go be in a man's world, right? You need to go out and pursue those things. The problem is you remove her largely in many ways, especially if it's not just like a job, but you're like sending her to a different location altogether. Well, how is she going to be protected in her father's household? She's not, right? And so here's the point. She needs to be, she is created to be under the authority of either father or husband. Otherwise, she's unprotected. And that's how you get this whole generation of Taylor Swift wannabes, right? Except what they're going to get is an STD and not be billionaires. They're going to be way lonelier than on the cover of Time magazine, right? A father has authority over the young girl's romantic interests and sexuality. Isn't this crazy in our day and age? Doug makes this case, by the way, in Her Hand in Marriage. It's a short book, and I recommend that you check it out. A father's duty is clear. He is to protect his young daughter by ensuring her sexual purity, right? So this gets into the whole courtship. He's not to allow his daughter to be serially dated and sleeping around. This is the father's role to make sure that this does not happen. But imagine with me for a moment, if you say to the Rainbow Brigade or just people in general in our culture today that a woman's virginity is a gift or inheritance, a thing to be protected by fathers, a thing to be highly regarded by young men who are pursuing wives, all people lose their minds. That's because everyone today has been trained to think that a really free woman is the woman who has been deflowered by dozens of men who are not her husband. You remember the Matt Chandler, right? The pastor, he tells the story of the pastor who passes a rose around and he says, I want everybody to like pluck a petal. And then by the time it comes back and the whole room of men has handled it, he's like, who would want this rose? This is what a woman is like when she gives her sexuality away to every man. She becomes undesirable. And of course, Matt Chandler's like, Jesus wants the rose, right? And he's slamming this pastor. The pastor is actually making a great point. It's actually a great point. It's a very proverbial wisdom point. It's to say, as a father to young ladies, like, if you're deflowered by every man, you become undesirable. Honey, we don't want that. We want you to be beautiful and a gift to your husband, and your sexual purity is part of that gift to your husband, and sex is for the marriage bed. And then we say to our young people as they enter into marriage, we say to our sons as well, Proverbs 5:18, I want you to go and be intoxicated and drunk with the love of the wife of your youth. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, Proverbs 5:18. Right? There is a proper place for sexual pleasure in marriage for young people, and the gift that is given, right, from men and women to each other is their sexual purity. This, particularly in daughters, is what fathers are supposed to be protecting. So the simple fact remains, virginity is desirable and good and beautiful. How important is virginity in a woman? Well, we also learn in Deuteronomy 22, kind of the answer to this question, right? We learn that a husband who is duped. So imagine this situation. A husband is duped. His betrothed, she says, and her father says, she's a virgin. Well, what happens if this claim is false? Somehow, the husband finds out. Well, he could bring her, in Deuteronomy 22, he could bring her to the elders of the city. What if this claim were true? Like, there's steep punishments if he's incorrect. So it's a weighty thing for him to even bring this charge. But this is what we read in Deuteronomy 22. If she is found guilty that she lied and she's deceiving her future husband, she's defrauding him, this is what we read. They shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel, to play the harlot in her father's house. Isn't that a stunning, like, in our culture today, like, can you imagine if people happen to read Deuteronomy 22? First of all, they're going to hate it. But even think about the concept that you are not to play the harlot in your father's house, to sleep around and then defraud your husband by telling him you're a virgin. Think about the consequences, but also think about where it says she should be stoned, in front of her father's house. Why would she be stoned in front of her father's house? Because he was the one that was supposed to be protecting her sexual purity. It's a judgment on the father's house as well, isn't it? He allowed her to play the harlot in her father's house. That's one of the biggest themes you should see. When you see a generation of Taylor Swifts, you should see fathers and husbands who have completely, selfishly, and sinfully abdicated their roles as fathers, husbands, and authorities. Taylor Swift is what you get when the patriarchy has just completely given up its responsibility and duty to its people. There is father rule, but it's horrible. There's always fathers ruling. Even when they're abdicating, they are ruling. It's just very, very poorly, and to the destruction of themselves and the judgment upon their household. How many fathers have allowed their daughters to do this, and the judgment is against them as well? Your daughter will be stoned to death in front of your house. There will be a societal reckoning. Do you think Deuteronomy 22 is saying what the people in my comments are right now? Whatever a woman wants to do with her own sexuality, well, that's her own business. Ain't no man gonna tell me what to do. No, What I do in the privacy of my own bedroom is no one's business. That's not what God says. Right? All these things that happen in your household are full of community ramifications. Right? They're public statements. What you do in the privacy of your home ultimately ends up being a public statement. One of my pastor friends sent me this after the Swift debacle. It's a quote from William Gooch, which I've been reading as well. It says this: besides, who knows not that the preservation of families results in the good of church and nation? Let me read that again. Who knows not that the preservation of families results in the good of church and nation? So a conscientious performance of household duties regarding the end and fruit of them may be accounted a public work. You see the issue here. What we do in our households, it echoes out into all of community and civilization and our society and culture. You can't just do things, quote unquote, in the privacy of your own home and not have societal ramifications. Of course, it's going to impact all of society. And the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, knows this, which is why Deuteronomy 22, you have to deal so harshly with sexual sin like this. Again, where was the stoning for deception to take place? At the door of her father's house. How many fathers need to hear that word and absolutely just repent? How many of you completely failed to do your job, sent your daughter to college and said, good luck, honey? How many husbands have allowed their wives to simply imbibe the TMZ Hollywood culture? Their wives are, in the Christian church, their wives are consuming things like People Magazine all the time. I remember going to like churches, and I'll never forget this, going to church and some of the young ladies and the women in the church, it's like, so what's going on in your life? Oh my gosh, we need to pray for Taylor Swift. Did you see what her boyfriend did to her? I'm like, these people aren't even real. This is like the Hunger Games, right? This is like made for TV, but people imbibe it like it's real. And then their daughters are reading Cosmo and really desiring to become like these harlots. And that's what Taylor Swift and what she embodies is harlotry. Right? Everywhere you see sexual sin like this in women, you ought to see what's really behind it, which is a failure of leadership and authority from husbands and fathers. Right? All of this, Deuteronomy 22, everything I've been saying, it's completely shocking in our culture, and people will accuse me, Eric, you're being a shock jock. Like, no, I'm really just saying things that are just wildly unpopular, but I believe them. And I believe our culture needs to hear them. Right? When we talk about things like Deuteronomy 22, it should be a shock to our system because it should show us how far we've slidden down the path into sexual immorality and away from biblical standards. Fathers need to take sexual sin seriously, particularly in their protective role over their daughters, for the sons as well. I'm not saying don't do it for your sons, but you have a special role here for your daughters. You should do everything possible to protect your daughters from promiscuity or sexually immoral behavior or immodest dress. This is what fathers are for. All right, fathers are the ones who say to their daughters, you are not wearing that. You are not going out with that boy. But daddy, I really like him. I don't care. Right, this is what fathers are for, as a protection. And it's not simply to say no to their daughters, but it's also to say yes, to point at the glory, which is hopefully their wife, and the flourishing home and beautiful women who know how to adorn their homes and obey their husbands and submit joyfully, and their home is bursting like a fruitful vine. And you get this feel in Brian Savay's song, Pastor Brian, right? A mighty host. The woman is a mighty host. She brings her army with her. There is nothing more glorious and beautiful than a woman who is adorning her home. Right? So fathers, be protecting, but also be promoting and cultivating this love for biblical femininity and motherhood. You know, this was so much of the failure, I think, of a lot of the young wrestlers from Reformed, and then what became TGC is, you know, we were talking about things like the glory of femininity, but this is crazy. We were not grounding femininity primarily in what it is, which is motherhood. Right? We were telling women in the Gospel Coalition that being single was really great. We were telling women that really the fulfilling path was singleness, which is an absolute complete lie. Right? Eve is the mother of all living. She has a purpose. This is why Paul says in Timothy and Titus and elsewhere, I would have the young widows be married and bear children and be fruitful in their homes. Learn how to love your children and your husbands. This is a woman's glory. Not being dressed like a stripper with a cat around your neck. Right? The other thing I would say here is it's not wrong for men to desire sexual purity. Right? It's not wrong for them. Now, it is incredibly stupid, by the way. There are manosphere guys who are like, I mean, they're sleeping with everybody and they're like, I need to find me a virgin. You're like, come on, man. If you're a whore, like, you can't have a triple, double, quadruple standard. And so it's not wrong for men to want sexual purity in a wife. And so you should say to our young people, be sexually pure, men and women. If they desire it in their future wife, these young men, they should desire it for themselves. Right? So fathers, if you have young sons, you know, son, don't go to the strip club. Don't consume pornography. Don't make your rounds through college dorms. Its behavior is despicable and vile. Let's celebrate, aim at, and cultivate sexual purity on all fronts. The other thing I would say is those who have committed sexual sins should realize the severity of those sins and repent accordingly. So when you read something like Deuteronomy 22, which, by the way, the death penalty is not in the Old Testament. It's not just for any forms of fornication. Right, there's some cases where a man who fornicates with his betrothed, he can go to the father can allow it, he pays the bride, they get married, you know, etc. There's different circumstances, but do you kind of get from this, the severity of sexual sin? This thing that we treat so glibly, the, you know, Rainbow Brigade in the comment section on Taylor Swift, like they're celebratory about absolutely what is vile. But even in the Christian church, we just have this low view, like, oh yeah, they fornicated, you know, that's not how God sees it. And so we need to repent accordingly. You know, one of the ways I always said you could tell people weren't repentant was when they stopped doing those things, but they would still brag about them. They would still tell the stories like Uncle Rico. Oh man, let me tell you about some of my exploits. Oh, you know, you would get those kind of stories. And to me, that said, I don't think you are actually repentant fully about your sin. But then you meet other people and are like, look, I was this way and it was vile. And I thank God that he saved me. I thank God that his grace washed me from my sin and helped me to walk in repentance and obedience. That is a picture of what the gospel is supposed to do. Right? We don't celebrate our sins. But this is the great thing. This is the gospel frees you. No matter what you've done, you can be free in Christ from your sin to walk in obedience to the Lord. You can be free from the guilt of a dirty conscience for all the things that you've done. But it starts by realizing how severe those things are and how steep the price of Christ dying for those sins really was. Now, some of the last things I want to say here, just by way of application, I think it's very clear from like Deuteronomy 22 and some of the passages we've looked at. I don't think it's a wise idea that we send our young daughters out and away from a father's household and authority. Just go to college, go live on your own. Well, here's the deal. They're not young men. You can do that with young men at a certain point because you need to leave and go find a wife and create a new household. That's really not what a young woman is doing. She's supposed to be under her father's authority. Very clear from scripture. A young woman is unprotected and unsafe when she is not under her father or husband's headship. A young woman who does not have this protection of authority on her as a head is unprotected. And so this is a dangerous place for her to exist. Right? The main point, if you're a young woman and you're in your father's household, the main point is not that you should be really using this time to develop a robust career, college, education, etc. That's not the main point of what this time is to be used for. You're still aiming at motherhood. It's still important to be in your father's household, learning from him and being aimed at motherhood. How to be a great wife. And having the protection of a wise, loving, godly father over you. Right? It's important that you're around your mother. It's important that you're continuing to learn from her. All the traits. This is the other crazy thing to me. Like, we act like compiling spreadsheets is so precious. And it's such a skill. And it's so important to be doing. And then we act like, where is the art of motherhood and being a wife? Where has that gone? Do you know how hard it is? Like, I'm so impressed by all the ladies at our church. I think about it. It's like some of the food that they cook, some of the personal favorite as we get to Christmas time, some of the cheesecakes, some of the breads. I mean, the art, the skill, the mastery, the craftsman level mastery that is required to be a great wife and mother. Like, everybody today is like, oh, being a mom is so easy. Well, yeah, I mean, if you aim at the absolute bare minimum. And then they think motherhood is not glorious. Well, of course it's not glorious if that's what you're aiming at. But if you are aiming at like peak femininity and motherhood, it is a glorious and hard and takes full devotion to do those things well. To be a mom, to nurture, to care, to create an environment that is just full of life, teeming with life in the home. So I think part of this, we need to recapture the glory of being a mom and wife and woman in the home. Right? Part of the problem is you send these young ladies out into the workforce, which I'm not saying it's bad if they have a job. But if you say the main point of this time is like, go find a career. Go submit to another man in another place who's not your husband or your father. It's just vocational. Are you really teaching her to grow into a godly woman who can keep a home and make it a place of beauty and rest and joy and peace? Probably not. So again, I think the fundamental principle here is a woman should be in her father's household under her authority until she's given to her husband. It's both for protection and cultivation of the motherly arts. This is the great gift, sexual purity and just the, you know, just amazing skills of motherhood that she can pass on to her husband and her future generations. That's going to be the glory. That's the glory that Scripture describes. And again, fathers, this isn't like lock your daughters away and keep her from a husband because you want to keep her for yourself. That would be irresponsible. But the whole point is that you're training her up. She's an arrow too. You're training her up and you're aiming her at the right thing, which is husband and household. So fathers need to be taking a proactive role. By the way, we've talked about this on the Pugilist. We'll continue to do so. What is that role for fathers in helping both daughters and sons find suitable spouses? When we talk about this from William Googe with Pastor Dan Burkholder, that's in the Pugilist. You can sign up for that for as little as $5 a month and get more practical tips, information, etc. For how to help your sons and daughters find spouses. Again, all this to say, as we wrap up this episode with Taylor Swift, we've talked about the Puritans, we've talked about the glory of daughters in the home. All of this to say, I just want to encourage our listeners. I know most of you are probably not. Most of you are probably not going to Taylor Swift concerts. And especially in such a manner that you're aiming at that and saying, like, I want my daughters, I want to be like Taylor Swift. Right? I get that. But I think what we need in our day and age, think about the Gospel Coalition. Think about what they've done. Anybody who speaks up against the culture, you get a Kevin DeYoung Moscow Mood article, like a slap on the wrist from Dolores Umbridge, right? That's what you get. Bad little boy. You spoke the truth. You're not allowed to do that. You need to quiet down. I don't like your mood. That's what you get from a Kevin DeYoung. Meanwhile, the Gospel Coalition is writing articles, The Gospel According to Taylor Swift by Trevin Wax. Still up. I think it's 2016. And what we can learn from Taylor Swift's breakups about the gospel. And then you can read, you can find it on the archive, one of the archive services. But the Gospel Coalition, they took it down. But what Christians can learn and appreciate from Taylor Swift's latest Eras tour? I mean, give me a break. But this is, it really is about, it discourages the people of God long term, doesn't it? And so I think what we need is just to be encouraged that you're not crazy for saying that wives and motherhood are glorious for women to pursue. You're not crazy for looking at Taylor Swift and saying, and all the propaganda machine and saying, this is dumb. This is stupid and dumb. And so I want to just be an encouragement to, you know, the fathers, the mothers, but the young ladies as well. Aim at the things that God says are glorious. Forget the world. I love this picture, by the way. We'll close with this. Four fathers. Caleb is 85 years old. He is about to inherit. But in order to inherit the promised land, which he was promised, right? He came over and is 40. He's 40 years old. He comes over. He spies out the land. He's one of few men who he fights the mob. And he says, this is good land and God's going to give it to us. And then they have to wait 40 years. So now, fast forward, Caleb's 85 years old. And they come in to inherit the land, and it's all giants who are in the land. And I love what Caleb says to Joshua. He's like, put me in, coach. He's like, I'm as vigorous as I've ever been. I'm strong. I'm ready to fight. We're going to win. God promised. Right? So, fathers, as you look at the culture, as you look at all the obstacles that you face, as you look at the giants in the land and the Taylor Swift billions, you know, you were talking about big money and big powerful forces. You say with Joshua and with Caleb, God promised. God promised me we're going to conquer. We're going to defeat the giants in the land. Because why? Because God is with us. Paul's in the middle of the sea, the end of Acts. In the storm, the angel of the Lord stands by him and he says, don't be afraid. I have plans and I have a purpose for you. So I just want to encourage you guys, even as we get into all the Taylor Swift stuff, I think the thing we should do is laugh. Proverbs 31, woman laughs at the times to come, and idiots, because that's what it is. This is idiocy. You can laugh at those things, but also be full of courage and hope and strength. Do not be afraid. The Lord stands with you in this work as you seek to build strong households, as you seek to teach your wives and your daughters and your sons how to live out what they've been called to be as men and women. God will strengthen you for this task. We will close with that. I hope it's been an encouragement. Again, want to encourage people to check out The Pugilist. We've been talking about William Googe. We're going to be talking about more on courtship with Doug Wilson, getting into the practicals and how you can work on some of those things. I know a lot of people have young kids, but it's still helpful to think through that. And then, of course, we're in the phase now where it's like, oh, I really actually have to figure this out and get our kids prepared. I tell you one thing it does for me as well. As you start to think about the preparation process, like in my case for sons, preparing my sons to be married, it really forces me to look at the timetable and say, okay, I have a year and a half, 3 years for some, four for the other. Okay, I have a set time period. And it really forces you to think, okay, at that time, I'm not saying they're going to get married at that time, but I need to get them so that they are, you know, when they're 18, they're at least ready. So that's one of the things I want to talk about in The Pugilist as well. We'll be unpacking, what do you actually have to do to get your sons ready, right? We know they have to be providers. We know that they have to be sexually pure, right? If you got sons, you got to That means you need to equip them. How are they going to deal with the pornography issue? How are they going to deal with smartphones? Right? The brothel in your pocket. How are you going to be able to deal and teach your sons to deal with those things? How are they going to lead their family? Do they know how to lead family worship? It's one of the things that we've been doing in our household, especially with my oldest too, especially with my oldest, like treat us like we're your kids and lead us through family worship. And I'll give you a little coaching along the way, but you got to be able to catechize. You got to be able to pray for your family. You got to be able to teach and ask questions. You got to be able to do these things. How are you going to lead a wife if you can't do that? And then career, what are you going to do? You got to provide. How are you going to provide? How are you going to have enough money? What's your plan? What's your mission? Do you understand what households and families are for? If not, let's get you ready. All right. So really, really good things. That's on the boy side. Of course, you have a unique set of things you have to prepare women for. This is the other thing. This is why I think keeping women under their father's care in the household is so important. I'm not fundamentally preparing my daughter to go be career boss babe lady. That's not what I'm preparing her to be if I have a daughter, right? That's not what you're aiming at. You're aiming at motherhood. And so what would be most conducive? Is the college environment or is being in the workforce, is that the main training ground for motherhood? No, it's not. So even though, again, I'm not saying a woman can't work, not saying that she can't be involved in family businesses and that sort of thing, but that's the other beauty. If you can have family business, small business, she can work with dad, around mom, like it's household economy. Just not crazy about sending daughters off to environments where they're going to, it's a seedbed for something else. You're training her. The workforce is the world of men. People don't like this, but that's what it is. Right? This is the reason we say one of the caveats and one of the questions is, well, homeschooling can be problematic because one of the things you just need to be careful with, we homeschooled forever, right? Is you have to get your sons around other men too. Like they can't just be around mom all day. And so that's something you have to be careful of. And so what do you say? We say, well, we go send them into the workforce with men because that's where you learn how to be men. But if you're sending daughters into the workforce, what are you training them to become? Men. Okay. So it's like, well, there's some things you can do that are not that, but you have to be careful, right? Still needs to be around mom, still needs to be focusing on motherhood. I know everybody in our culture is going to freak out about that. But the main aim is motherhood. Even if there's work, the main aim is still motherhood. Well, hopefully this episode has been encouraging. And we encourage you to check out New Christendom Press Conference. And you can go to newchristendompress.com/conference. June 6th through 8th. Best pricing you will ever get is right now. Sign up. Bring the whole family. Love to have you guys there. We're going to have a great time. Concert from Brian Sauvay. And we're going to do psalm singing. It's going to be amazing. Stay for worship on Sunday. Probably going to be more than one service. And we'd love to see you guys there at the conference in June in Ogden 2024. Well, thanks again for listening to this episode of the Hard Men Podcast. Until next time, stay frosty, fight the good fight, act like men.